whatever the fuck this is.
Kodiak has arrived.
Yeah,
about time.
Yeah, I know, right?
Who is this? TJP? TJP's autograph. Ooh, I really care about that. Okay. About time, Kodiak. You're late for your own show.
I know. What a coincidence. I'm late for a lot of things. But let's get this thing started. First off, we're going to take a moment of silence for Rob's family. And my prayers and thoughts go out to you, Rob, and your family. Okay, guys, so what's up? How y'all been?
Living the life. Now, look, I'm going to give you some advice here on podcasting. Don't be like some people out there, not going to mention any names, who starts off with the boring generic, well, how are you doing during this pandemic? Don't start off with the generic and dumb questions like that. You only have one shot at a first question, so you got to make it good.
I think I just tapped into Bully Ray's phone. Is this Bully Ray we're speaking to here? Or is this the old school thriller, Jay Miller?
Yeah, it's a little bit at both.
All right. So, you want the first question to be...
Make it a good one. Make it a good one. Good one. It sets the tone for the show.
All right. So, I heard you are the man behind IWA coming back.
Good question. Good question. Yes, I've heard that too. It's something that I'm working on. I'm excited about because Lord knows the last idiot that tried to take control of it completely ruined it because he knows nothing about the wrestling business. He's a complete idiot. He's never had a day of training in his life. I wouldn't trust him to run a fucking nudie booth, let alone a wrestling company. He could screw up a wet dream. So, yeah, I definitely plan on bringing the IWA back and doing it justice compared to what he did with it.
Awesome. Now, are you planning on wrestling?
No.
Or are you just strictly being the promoter, the booker?
When I told you that that was my last match last year, that was my last match. I have not wrestled since then, and I do not plan on wrestling again. Wow. Now, I did just buy new wrestling boots, so I don't know why that was, but I do not plan on wrestling again.
I see. So, who trained you? And what made you want to start wrestling?
I was trained originally by a guy named Rick Lieb. And he taught me about two things. How to be a snake and how to be a, you know, how to lie to the boys. But then I went in after that. I trained with Eddie Insane, who trained Tyson Tarver from WWE and all that, and that's pretty much where I learned everything from, because I didn't learn shit from Rick Lieb. No one has. But yeah, so that's that. I was trained by Eddie Insane. And then a lot of stuff, you know, I just kind of, you know, he gave me my initial training. After that, I kind of, you know, I was one of those that I learned better by doing things. So actually getting in the ring, being able to bump around, being able to, you know, just listen. My first year I spent just listening, figuring out how to put together a match, what makes sense, what doesn't make sense, what to do, what not to do. So I learned all that. And then I was off to the races after.
Rob, do you have any questions for Jay?
Oh, man, I am not sure, Kodiak. What else do we have going on here? Let me see.
Is Rob still there?
I have another one for you, and it's kind of a personal one.
Wait. Did Rob get scared? And Rob, you don't have. I am not even in the same place as you, Rob. I will not beat you up like I used to do with the IWA. You don't have to be scared.
Did we lose him?
Sounds like it.
Well, what the hell?
I mean, I understand. I mean, I am a very intimidating person.
Yeah, I know.
You put Rob on the spot. Rob got scared, and Rob quit. Look at that. You would think you were doing a podcast with Teddy Hart with how quick he just quit.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. But this is a personal question that I have for me, because you took me under your wing when you saw me at IWA. And I was just wondering why you seen me and you're like, yeah, that's the kid I'm going to help.
Because when I first talked to you, you just sat there. You didn't say nothing. I thought you were listening. Turns out you're just deaf. You didn't hear nothing I said, so you didn't respond. Yep. No, I saw you had passion. I could tell that, you know, you didn't have, when I met you, you didn't have the tools that you needed, but you had the passion and you had the willingness to learn the business. And that's enough for me. You don't have to be the best in the ring. You don't have to be the best on the mic. If you have a passion, if you're showing that you're willing to learn from the people that can teach you, that's good enough for me. I'll give you a chance. And that's how, because I was, you know, I was that person at one time in the locker room that no one wanted to give the chance to. And then, you know, I earned my spot because someone gave me that opportunity. So that's kind of how I felt, you know, with you.
Yeah, it ended up turning into almost a 2-year feud.
Yeah, and a lot of miles traveled.
Yes, a lot of miles traveled. Here's another question I have while we're waiting on Rob to come back. How many companies have you worked for?
Oh, geez. Why don't you ask me how many streets have I walked down? You know, it's been a lot. I've been, you know, all over the place, Las Vegas, California, Arizona, Ohio, Indiana, Alabama, Georgia, Florida. I mean, I've been all over. I couldn't even begin to name all the companies I've wrestled for. And it's not because it's so many companies. It's really because I have a really bad memory. But but yeah, I mean, I've been so many places that, I mean, I've had some places where I really enjoyed. When I first got to IWA, I really enjoyed that. There's a place in Akron they used to run every week called Real Action Wrestling. I love that. That's my favorite place that I've ever worked. It was probably the happiest I've ever been in my career when it came to wrestling, because it just, at that point, I was young. I was in my early 20s. So I didn't care about, you know, the politics of it. I didn't let shit get to me. I was still kind of young. I was bright-eyed. I was bushy-tailed, and I was excited about the business compared to, you know, when you first met me, when I came to IWA. You know, at that point, I was jilted. I was, you know, just kind of over the wrestling business, in which at times I let that kind of affect my decisions. I'd sometimes be a pain to deal with from the bookers or the promoters or whatever, just because I was so tired of the wrestling business, and I was so tired of, you know, just the people in the wrestling business, that I took all that anger that I let build up from all the dumb stuff and took it out on sometimes the wrong people, like Brenda. Caleb deserved it, so I don't regret anything I said about him, and I have a lot more to say about him now, but we won't get into that. So that's kind of what it is. You know, I've had some fun places I've worked. I've had some horrible places I've worked, and I've worked in some in-between places.
Nice. So how was it being a writer for WWE? Did you like it? Did you just not? Did you dislike it?
I mean, it had its moments. And then again, that comes back to me being at that point, just jilted by the wrestling business. It was a spot I fell into, based on the people that I knew, and the people that I knew that got me into that position were gone not long after I got in that position. So, you know, I was pretty much known as their boy. You know, I was Brian's boy. So with him gone, everyone kind of held that against me and had that resentment towards me, which made things a little harder than you had, you know, the cut through to you'd come up with an idea and someone else would take credit for it. So that's just kind of how that was. I mean, without going into too much detail about the time there, it was a learning experience. But it's not something I would want to do right now again.
That's understandable. So, like, even if you were, like, talking to an upcoming wrestler that told you that he had a goal that he wanted to be in WWE, would you tell him that you might want to change your mind about that? Or would you, like, go for it? Or
what I tell anyone, when anyone asks me, hey, I want to get in the wrestling business, hey, I'm thinking about doing this, hey, I tell everyone that says that to me the same thing. Go to college first, get an education, have something to fall back on. I mean, as many people that for every one person that makes it to WWE, you have a couple hundred people that never will. And it's a struggle to get there. You know, Michael Tarver, he was living in his car before he signed with WWE. He was literally homeless. I mean, it's a struggle to get there, and you got to make a lot of sacrifices to get there. But if you don't get there, you need to have something to fall back on.
Absolutely. Now, do you think the indies are going to be bigger after this pandemic's over, if we even get back to wrestling?
Honestly, I think a lot of companies will not be coming back after the pandemic. A lot of companies rely on that monthly income to keep running. You know, it's hard to have 8 months, a year, however long off without any income from shows coming in, because you want to get your business to the point where you don't have to put your personal money in there. You want to get to a point where your personal bank account and your promotional bank account are separate and they never coincide with each other. You want to run shows that are self-sufficient. 8 months, 9 months, a year of no business, you can't be self-sufficient. Every business in Ohio is opened up except for pro wrestling.
Right.
And there's no, it doesn't look like pro wrestling will be opening back up anytime soon, in this state at least.
Right. Now, going back to the IWA, are you wanting to just stay solely here in Ohio, or are you wanting to travel?
My goal is, you know, of course, the main base, the homestead is going to be here in Ohio, because this is where the IWA was born and this is where the IWA was bred. But my goal is to go into West Virginia, Indiana, Michigan, and kind of get different crowds. That we can kind of do stuff in front. We can test stuff out for other shows. You know, we can use those audiences as guinea pigs to see what will and what won't work when we do our main shows here in Ohio.
Absolutely. So we traveled, me, you, Rob, we've traveled the road a lot. And
Jimmy, don't forget about Jimmy.
And Jimmy, which is actually, speaking of the pop punk prince, Jimmy Graves, he's actually going to be our next guest on the show next week.
Good guest.
So I'm excited about that one. What are some of your favorite memories of all of us boys being on the road together?
I think Alabama definitely sticks out like a sore thumb. Alabama was amazing. And I feel like all three of us really, that was the first trip we really got to bond on. Because, I mean, at that point, you know, me and you have worked together a lot. At that point, you know, we've talked to Rob a lot, but that was the first time we really traveled with Rob, and that's the first time we spent a lot of time with Rob. And it really, you know, it got us to the point where we knew Rob, and it made us together, it bonded us together.
Absolutely. Hello?
He's back.
He ran away.
Gotta stop burying him now. He's back.
Yeah, he ran. Yeah. So we were just talking about the road trips, the memories, and Jay was saying that Alabama had to be the one that sticks out the furthest. Indiana was fun. I think we wasted more time when we went to Indiana.
The thing about Indiana was, on their side, it was unorganized, and it was just, it wasn't a fun company to work for. So that kind of dampened that. I mean, at least in Alabama, you know, we got paid really good.
Yes.
And it was a fun atmosphere. We met a lot of cool people.
Oh, yeah. I'm still friends with quite a few of them, actually.
Right. So, I mean, it was a great experience, and it was great networking. It was a great experience to network with people and meet new people. And for you, I mean, the thing I liked the most about it was seeing you get out of your comfort zone. You get out of your comfort zone.
I'm so scared.
You got out of your comfort zone. You was able to, you know, get in the ring, and you had probably the best match you've had since I've known you.
Well, I think a lot of that goes to the person that I was wrestling to.
Oh, yeah, duh. He did all the work.
I mean, he did all the work. All I did was bump. But that's one of my far favorite, that trip, like, I remember it very vividly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was great. It was fun. You definitely, I think you learned a lot, you know, and I think for Rob, you know, it was a reminder to Rob that he could still go. You know, because there's a times when, you know, that was at a point where it seemed like Rob was kind of doubting himself just because of the business and, you know, in IWA and how shitty things were going there. So I think, it helped bring Rob his passion back. You know, and it taught you a lot. It gave you a good match. So, I mean, it was a good experience all around. And we got paid good.
Yes, we did. Hey, Rob, do you have any questions for Jay, or have you figured
out? Oh, man, I'm sitting here, and I was thinking of sorry about blanking out earlier. Like, I lost connection entirely. My question is, and I know everyone asks it, just give me a couple of the people that you like to work and people you never want to see in the ring with you again. I know you're not going to be working again, but just generally people you wouldn't want to do business with.
I would say that the people I enjoyed working with, I mean, I enjoyed working with Kodiak, obviously. I enjoyed working with you guys, you and Chris, on that tag team battle royal. Eddie was great. Eddie Insane was a great opponent. Frankie Andolini down here was probably my favorite opponent of all time. People I never want to work with. I can't remember the big goof's name. It was when I returned to IWA. when I came back after the falling out, and he had like a twin or something. Just big dumb lurch looking dude. The blonde hair. He had his fat woman with him at all times. You know, I can't think of his name. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I can picture him. It's just a little.
Yeah, he had the fat chick with him. She fell off the apron one time and twisted her ankle and act like she got shot. But two more people that they shouldn't even be allowed to look at a wrestling ring, let alone be in one. So definitely my 100% the worst opponent I've ever had. I mean, he was just a big, goofy idiot. And if you go back and watch that match, which I do think it's online somewhere, I mean, he is the most uncoordinated person I've ever seen in my life. Outside of that, I've never really had bad experiences. Me and Jimmy wrestled some tag team in Indiana that really sucked, but I can't remember who they were. That was actually our last time going to Indiana. We went to the locker room. I threw the belt, and I knew I was done at that point. And then Vinnie Violence. I haven't been in a one-on-one match. I've only done battle royals with Vinnie Violence. But just he's an idiot, and I couldn't stand being and seeing what he does to other people. You know, I don't. You know, that shit doesn't belong in this business. He doesn't belong in this business. He has the worst attitude for the business. And he tries to control everything when it's not his place to try to control anything. So, yeah, that's my answer.
Yeah, I get that. Vinnie Violence was very... When I worked for companies that he ran, it was very disorganized and just not together well. But short of that, it's, but I had some of my best matches with some opponents that weren't him.
Vinny, like, my last match was supposed to be at IWA, was originally supposed to be against him. I showed up with no gear on the purpose of I was not putting myself in the ring with him. Because for one, when I had the triple threat with him and Devin, he tore my MCL. Like, I was trying to get out of the ring to give them time, you know, so they can do what they were doing. He was running at me, and my foot got caught on the apron. And by the time he got there, I had twisted my leg completely the opposite way. And I just remember, you know, Brenda coming after me underneath the ring and asking what I was doing. I was under there bawling because it hurt so damn bad. But I knew that I didn't want the crowd to see that. And so I had to get myself together and finish the match. But after that match, I never want to be in the same ring with Vinny, nor Rob Allen. They're both very dangerous people to be in the ring with.
Yeah, I've never been in the ring with Rob Allen outside of a battle royal, I think. I think I've been in a battle royal with him. But he's just another one that thinks he knows everything and knows nothing. I mean, he claimed he was trained by Al Snow, and I guarantee that's a lie. I guarantee Al Snow probably doesn't even know him. But that's just my opinion.
He claims he's a lot of other things too, but we're not going to cross down that road. Any more questions, Rob?
See here, man. What does the future hold for you, Mr. Miller, other than the running of IWA and not working again?
Well, hopefully the future holds a successful business. Hopefully it holds a prosperous, you know, future. Hopefully it holds making money. That's the main goal. That's it. You know, that's usually my goal used to be to go out and have fun. Now my goal is, you know, Kevin Nash is the one that told me. He said, if you're doing this for fun, you're the biggest idiot in this locker room. Always do it for the money, because the fun ain't going to pay your bills when your body don't work no more. So my goal now is to make money. And that's you know, what I'm planning on doing. And then, you know, and I also want to, you know, reestablish the IWA name for what it should be, not what it was made by that idiot Caleb, who thought he knew everything about the business and knew absolutely nothing.
Hey, wise man once told me he was trained by King Kong Bundy.
Oh, Jesus. I've heard him say he was trained by the Sheik. He said he's trained by King Kong Bundy. He was trained by a TV with probably bunny ear antennas because he couldn't afford cable.
So here's another question for you. Is there any person that you would like to book, like that's out there, like working TNA or AEW, if their contract allows them to work indie promotions?
I mean, one person that I would love to book and that I think is the greatest thing in wrestling right now and has the brightest career ahead of him is MJF. MJF is just he knows how to be a heel. He knows how to be a heel in the ring. He knows how to be a heel outside of the ring. I mean, he is just he does everything he's supposed to do. He's definitely the smartest and best worker in the business today.
Nice. I have him on Facebook, and like even on Facebook, like he's taking shots at like the Miz, and they're not even in the same company.
Oh yeah.
And it's just like, how in the hell is he able to stay in character so freaking easy? When guys like me, if somebody does something funny, I'm probably going to laugh.
He just, sometimes it's not all character. Sometimes people are just really assholes, which is cool. A lot of people say I'm one, and I wouldn't disagree with them. So it works. If it works for the business, if it makes money at the end of the day, that's all that matters. It don't matter who likes you and who hates you backstage. If you're pulling in dollar signs, if you get to cash a check every week that has a decimal point with a bunch of numbers before it, that's all that matters.
Now, this might, I did the last show you ran was up in Akron and you had Justin Credible there. I was the only one that did the training seminar, which was really neat for me because I got that one-on-one bonding experience and learning experience.
Now, wait. And don't forget. Now, remember, Caleb said that was the worst thing to happen to you. The worst thing to happen to you, according to Caleb, who claims to be a promoter, is that you sat there and learned from someone that's been in every major company in the world. Someone that's been on top of the major wrestling companies. Someone that's been on TV consistently from the time he was 18 till he was almost in his 40s. And learning from him was a bad thing from you, according to Caleb, who is supposed to be a promoter and know everything about wrestling.
Exactly. But he told me, like, after my match was over, I laid there. Because he's like, there's one or two things that's going to happen. He's like, if you're a heel, regardless, if you take the bump, and you lay there, they're either going to boo you out of the building or they will cheer you. He's like, and if you don't get a reaction at all, then you did not do your job properly in the ring.
Yep.
So, like, that's something I always, like, look back on. If I'm a face, I want to be able to hear that crowd, even though I can't hear the person I'm in the ring with. But if I can get that crowd loud enough, by damn, I can hear them.
And here's the thing. If you're a face or you're a heel, even if you're not getting the reaction you want out of the crowd, as long as you're getting a reaction, that's what matters. It's when you get no reaction that you need to worry.
Absolutely.
All right, Mr. Miller, I have another question for you. And I've mentioned this to people before. I don't think I've ever mentioned it to you. I have noticed one thing that is amazing about you. You have an immaculate mind for this business. How did you go about developing such a business forward thinking when it comes to our business?
Because it's something I've always loved, and it's something I've always respected. If you come into this business with love and respect for the business, you learn the business, you take every chance you get to study the business, you sit there every chance you get with anyone that's been in this business, even a day longer than you, and you listen to them, and you don't just listen to them, you ingrain what they say. You go in completely open-minded, open-hearted, and open-eared, and you just learn. People used to always ask me, why do you watch wrestling so much? And I always said, I'm not watching wrestling, I'm studying wrestling. Because that's what you have to do if you want to make it anywhere in the wrestling business. And I've had, there's a times where I've had one of the worst reputations in the wrestling business. I've been compared to Paul Heyman in not a good way. I've been compared to Eric Bischoff in not a good way. But even with that reputation that others have put on me, I still got bookings. I still traveled. I still consistently worked. And that's because I had that passion and I had that mind for the business and I studied the business. I knew what would work and what didn't work. And that's one of the reasons. And Jimmy is the same way as me. I mean, me and Jimmy, you guys know from just car road trips, it was wrestling 24/7. And we didn't just talk about wrestlers. We talked about the business. We talked about what we liked, what we didn't like, what works, what doesn't work, what we would do, what, you know, we never even thought of. And that's one of the reasons we split from IWA the first time. It's because we knew how things should be. And we tried to explain those to the people that didn't know how things should be. People that did not have a mind for the business. Andrew had an amazing mind for the business. Andrew was a good booker. Andrew was he was a student of wrestling. When he left and Caleb decided, and Caleb got more duties of running the shows, is when we said, okay, this isn't right. And us speaking up for the business that we loved and us speaking up and saying, hey, you're doing the business wrong. It was never about us. Me and Jimmy, neither one of us ever went to Caleb or Brenda or anything like that with ideals about ourselves. We never went and said, hey, this doesn't make sense for us. We want you to do this for us. We always went to them like, hey, you have this guy doing that the next show and it doesn't make sense. It kills his character and it makes the company look like crap. But us having a strong opinion because we knew what worked in the business and we love the business and we respect the business compared to people that were just in the business to have fun is where the problem started. I mean, that's why we left in the first place. So I think I answered your question in long form, but yeah, so that's it.
Worded in long form, so I expected a long answer from somebody who I've known in this business for almost three years now. Is it almost three? I've always respected, I know you're younger than me in the business, but I've always respected your mind for the business because when I was coming up, I was just coming up as a worker. I was coming up to do the business. I was coming to try to make money when I could and just, you know, being out there to entertain. But like your mind, I know it sees dollar signs and everything, and it blows me away just how what totally wrestling functional your brain is, how you think 800 steps ahead of the guy who's thinking 200 steps behind you.
And the, you know, and the one thing, you know, and one way I learned so much is that I would step up and do anything that a promotion needed. I would send, you know, a thing to a promotion. And even after I had been in the business for 15 years, you know, I would still, you know, say, hey, you know, are you looking, are you booking anyone, blah, blah, blah. No, you know, we don't need no wrestlers right now. We're fully booked. What do you need? A referee? I'll come up there and referee. You know, someone, I remember one show in, I think it was Pennsylvania. They put a thing out. Hey, is there any ring announcer available for tomorrow? Or is just canceled? I shot him a message. Hey, I'll come ring announce for you tomorrow if you need one. You know, at this point, I was established as a wrestler in the business. But hey, if you need me here, I'll come in and do that. You know, if you need someone to come help you put together a show, I'll come in and do that. I don't need to wrestle on the show because I want to learn every single aspect of the business because that's how you make the most impact on the business. When you go in there and you referee, you realize you start respecting the referees. We couldn't do what we do without the referee. The referee is the glue that holds the puzzle together. We're the pieces. The ref is the glue that holds the match together. Because without that ref and without him relaying stuff, that match falls apart. You know, that ring announcer, he, you know, he's so important to the business. You know, without that ring announcer, introductions would suck. No one would know who you are. No one would know anything about you. That ring announcer sets the tone for your match, and he sets the tone for your gimmick. You know, the way he introduces you, sets it lets the people know if they're supposed to boo you or cheer you. If you just walk out there to music, fans don't know what's going on. They don't know who you are, and they're not going to care. That ring announcer is the one that makes them care by telling them who you are.
Yeah, that's absolutely nice. I remember one time I was wrestling in Michigan, and I had it was shortly after the OSU versus Michigan game. I told the ring announcer to announce me, previously hailing from Honolulu, Hawaii, now hailing from the great state of Ohio. And oh my God, dude, the boos I got were just, I come out in like Ohio State jersey, a hat, a coat, over my gear, and I just fucking made these guys hate me, and it was great.
Right. Now imagine trying to do that without that ring announcer there to set the stage that you're from Ohio now. If you would have just came out there wearing Ohio stuff with no introduction, you wouldn't have got the same response. It would have just been like, okay, why is this guy just walking out here in Ohio State gear? But with that ring announcer sending the tone, oh, now he resides in Ohio, the great state of Ohio. It makes the fans hate you even more.
And the greatest thing about the ring announcer, I'm not saying this. He's forcing me to say it. I'm going to say it in his introduction. So it was really great.
Yeah, so I mean, every spoke on the wheel is needed for the company, the show to succeed. You're missing one spoke, the bike will not work right. And it's the same thing with the wrestling business. If you're missing a ring announcer, the referee, you know, manager, valet, anybody that brings something to the show, if you're missing them, you're missing a part of your show that you need. That's why I've never got people that I go, promoters that say, we don't pay managers. Managers are very important because if you got a guy that's good in the ring but sucks on the mic, the crowd's not going to care about him. The crowd's not going to remember him. But you put that manager with him, now the crowd's going to remember him. The next show, the crowd is going to remember who he is because of that loudmouth manager.
Now, does that go for, like, commentary too? Because indie promotions that I've seen, I've only seen announcers like, or not announcers, but commentators like once or twice.
Commentators are important when you have a TV show or when you have a YouTube show or when you put things up, put your shows online. Having live announcers is the dumbest thing there is because the crowd don't need the announcers to let them know what's going on. Commentators don't let them know what's going on because they know what's going on. They're there. They see it. They're live. They can hear the ring announcer introduce them. They can hear the two guys in the ring talking smack to each other. The people at home can't. So that's why commentators are important. But live commentators are dumb. If I'm looking at the curtain and someone's sneaking up behind me and we're having live commentary and the commentator is saying, oh my God, he's coming up behind him, and everyone around me can hear it, why the hell can't I hear it? It makes whoever's in the ring look stupid because everyone can hear this guy but you.
Right.
So yeah, I don't like live commentary. I like commentary if you're putting, like when I ran my show in Akron, we had commentary, but the crowd couldn't hear the commentary. Right. The commentary was being done for the YouTube release.
Right. And if I'm not mistaken, the last couple WWE shows I've been to have been the same way. Like you can,
oh yeah, WWE never does live commentary.
You can see them there, but you cannot hear them at all. Like all you hear is them being announced to the table. They come out with their music, if they have music, and that's it. You don't hear them for the rest of the night. But then again, you see, like, when it's time for them to have their segment, the whole side of the stage just lights up.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's commentators are important for at home. Like, you know, WWE show, you're never going to hear the commentators if you're at the show live. The commentators are strictly for the fans at home because the people that are there don't need the commentators. It's the people that are at home that need them to follow along.
Awesome. I did not know that. So here's a non-wrestling question. What are you doing with your free time now that, you know, everything's pretty much shut down?
Honestly, right now I'm actually in school. I'm going to school right now. I'm going to college right now, which is a horrible time to pick going to college because they shut the campus down for like 2 months. So everything was at home schooling. And now, you know, we have 2 days of homeschooling and then 1 day we get to go on campus. So that's, I mean, pretty much, you know, my week consists of going to school, planning on, you know, the IWA stuff. Every day I'm doing more things to prepare for the company to begin. And then, you know, I've actually gotten so bored during this pandemic, I've started collecting autographs. So that's pretty much all I do in my free time.
All right there, Jay, let me get you one more question. It's not really a question. It's more of, I'm going to give you an open forum. You can say, because we're getting down to time-wise, go ahead and just let those people know who ever doubted you, ever disliked you. Just let them know how you feel about them.
I mean, you know, I've never been one to pay much attention to the gossip or the talk or the he said, she said stuff, because at the end of the day, I've done more in this business than a lot of people have. And the most important thing is I've done enough in this business that I'm happy with where I've been, what I've done. If, you know, tomorrow they said, hey, wrestling is done forever. Wrestling will never return in any form, way, shape or form. I'd be okay, because I've done enough in the business to where I'm happy. I'm content with where my career has taken me. The people I've met, the true friendships, which you rarely find in this business, that I've been gracious enough to find with you, with Kodiak, you know, with Brenda, with Jimmy, you know, all the, you know, those are the things I value the most from this business, is those true friendships I've been able to get out of it. You know, the people that I know, you know, if I'm having a problem and need to talk, I can call up and say, hey, this shit's rough right now. And they'll listen. And it's people I know that if they, you know, they needed to talk, they could call me anytime and say, hey, I need to talk. And I'll be there with open ears. And those are the things that I've gained the most out of this business. No matter, and nothing else even matters compared to that. That's the biggest thing I've gotten out of this business. So the people that, you know, that still like to talk about me or still like to bring my name up on their podcast every week to try to make their 32 fans happy that listen to them. Thank you. Keep doing it. Keep talking about me. It don't matter. I've gotten everything I've needed out of this business. You know, and that's all it is to it, for, you know, people like Caleb out there that wants to run his mouth and keep trying to take shots at me. They're wasted arrows. I could care less what you say about me. You've never been anything in this business. You never will be anything in this business. You have shows that draw 20 people and act like you have 200. You lie to everyone that'll listen to you, and which ain't many people anymore anyways. So anything you say just doesn't even matter to me, but please keep taking shots. You're not making me famous cause no one cares what you say, but you're making me relevant in your life. So that's pretty much it. I mean, you know, people can say what they want about me, but I'm happy with where I've been. I'm happy with what I've done, and I'm happy with who I've met.
Awesome.
That's great. We appreciate your time today there, Mr. Miller. And if Kodiak's got anything else,
yeah, let's I do.
Roll. Okay.
I do have one more question. You see a bunch of people, like, talking in the back about their match, and all you see is high spot, high spot, high spot, high spot. And now, are you a type of person that you rather call it in the ring or call every single fucking thing in the back?
How many times have you been in the ring with me?
Almost. At least 50. I mean, it was two years straight, and you were almost my only opponent for those 2 years. So.
And how did we do every match? The key parts we'd pick out at the beginning. We'd figure out how we'd start and how we'd end. It didn't really matter. We really didn't need to pick out how it started because you always forgot how it was supposed to start.
Forgot. And
I
don't know
up the first spot, but
I don't know why that is. Like, I guess I'm just so used to, okay, lock up and go from there. But even then, like, sometimes, like, I can't hear, so I'm just going off of feel.
Huh?
Exactly. Could you imagine the front row if I really had to yell, huh?
Oh, jeez. Yeah, I mean, I've always been a calling in the ring guy. I wrestled one guy. Only time in my life where I had a match that was completely scripted out. I have a shit memory. I can't remember what I did 5 minutes ago. So remembering an entire match ain't gonna happen. But I wrestled a guy named Halo down in Zanesville, and I got to the show. I was told, hey, you're working Halo. Okay. He's the Triple H of the company because his daddy-in-law was the owner, the promoter. So I said, yeah, give me a minute. Let me finish setting up the ring, and we'll go over the match. I'm like, hey, no problem. So I go to the back, and I start, you know, getting comfortable, whatever. So it's like, all right, Halo's in the ring. He wants you to come out there. So I go out there, and he has three notebooks laying in the ring open with step-by-step how the match was going to go. Never in my life have I done that before. Never would again. It was a decent match, but I realized that was the only way he would ever have a decent match is if he did his step. If he had to go out there and win it, he would be lost. He'd be more lost than a fat chick at a Jenny Craig's convention. It wouldn't work for him.
Nice. Well, I appreciate you coming on and talking with us, Mr. Miller. I really do. Like even some of the stuff that just listening, like, I'm totally mind-blown by it. Like, your knowledge for this business is, like, absolutely incredible. And I can't wait until IWA is able to, you know, get up and let's hit the ground running with it because I'm ready and I'm willing to learn anything from anybody. But I just want, you know, things done the right way with me instead of you know, like this promoter telling me to do this, and then I go to this company, and then they're telling me to do the complete fucking opposite.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, in this business, you got to learn to be versatile. You got to learn, you know, to be able, you know, from town to town, promotion to promotion, you're going to have different expectations. You know, one place is going to want you to be a heel. The other place is going to want you to be a face. And you got to learn to do both if you want to succeed in the business. You know, then that's just how the business is. You can't be stuck in one mode. You can't get too comfortable with doing things a certain way, because there's always going to be someone that expects you to do it a different way, and you got to learn to adapt to that different way in order to be successful.
Look, I don't think that I made a very good heel, but I also think that my time at being a heel made me kind of doubt being in the business. It made me want to like start not wanting to be in it because of the people that I was wrestling and all the drama that was in it.
I went until those last 3 months at IWA, I had never been a face in my career. That was the first time I'd ever been a face, was at those IWA shows. And I was nervous about it, but we pulled it off. So, I mean, that's sometimes you just got to take that leap of faith and say, hey, I'm not comfortable with this, but I'm going to go out there and give it my all and try to make it work.
Absolutely, brother.
But I do thank you guys for having me on. I've enjoyed this. I think it's a much better podcast than some of the other ones out there. I'm not going to say no names. Is that a buckshot that just went out? Anyways, thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate it.
It was an absolute honor and privilege there, Mr. Miller. You have a great night. And as always, it's great talking to you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, sir.